Good evening, and my love to you all. I am Aaron. Since I am officially a ghost, I resist this kind of energy. If you were qualified to do ghost studies. I want to tell you of the experience of a long-distant lifetime. The being that I was a priest, a Christian monastic. I spent much time walking from village to village, seeking shelter at night in whatever farm or village home might be available. I'm going to say this, tell this story in the first person. When I say I, you recognize that this is not me, but a past incarnation, one small aspect of myself. Sometimes I slept in hovels, or even in a field. And other times, in what would seem to be a castle, or other grand estate building. It was late fall, around the time of your Halloween. Well, Halloween is a secular holiday in your culture, in which children dress up in fancy costumes and seek candy. It has much deeper spiritual roots. This is a time of year when more spirits, more restless and earthbound spirits, seem to be abroad. Perhaps it has something to do with the phases of the moon and the changes of seasons. For whatever reason, that which in many cultures is known as the Day of the Dead is a day in which many earthbound spirits do come out. I have often wondered why in your culture you allow little children to run around on such a night. I suppose in good storytelling form, I should say it was a dark and stormy night. But actually, it was a rather fair evening for that time of year. But it was growing dark, and I had passed through fields and woods and not seen a dwelling. Some miles back, I had gone through a village, and they told me that I would come to a rather large manor house. That the house had been deserted for some time, but was recently inhabited by an elder man. And he had repaired it, and they supposed I might find shelter there. Just as dusk approached, I saw the lights of this very grand house in the distance, much larger than I'd expected. I knocked on the door, seeking really only some bidding in the barn, a place in the straw with the animals. But the servant who opened the door said, "Oh, yes, come in. My master will be honored to have you as his guest." And he was very gracious to me. Gave me food and wine, and then led me up a long circular staircase to what seemed to be a room in a tower. I carried a candle, and he also carried a candle. When we came into the room, there were several unlit candles there, and he left them. So that the room had a warm and comfortable glow. He nodded, asked if my needs were met, and I said yes. So he said good night and closed the door behind him. He had told me that this was the first room and I could see there were doors off of it. He said I would find a bed in the next room to make myself comfortable. When the door closed behind him, with a click, I heard what sounded like a key on the lock. It alarmed me, and I immediately went and tested the door. I heard his voice on the other side say, "I will open it in the morning. It doesn't lock from your side. I have the key and this is for your protection." It seemed a bit strange to me. But I resigned myself. Did not argue with him. But exhausted as I was from the day's walk, I washed at the basin that had been left for me and then opened the door into what I presumed would be the bedroom. Holding my candle, there I saw a scene which still rings into my memory with horror. In that room, there were no fewer than 4 dead bodies, different stages of decay. One was merely a skeleton. Its ragged clothes hanging around. Another 2 had shreds of flesh left. And the 4th looked like a body of one who had just died in that fortnight. I went back out to the first room. And as I looked closely at my surroundings, I could see the attempts on the door to pick the lock or pry open the hinges. And I realized that this, I can only call him a sick man, took some strange delight in prison. His victims. And condemning them to death. In that way. Somehow I knew he would not open the door in the morning. The first reaction was rage and fear. I looked out the window, but I was far too high up to descend safely. Even if there had been anything to climb down. I went to the door and pounded on it. His laughter on the other side told me that he had not walked away, that he had been waiting for just that reaction from me, but that bade him, that he drew his energy off of my feet. I determined not to give him that gift of my fear. And so I sat and began to pray. Through the early hours of the night, I simply sat and meditated with my fear of death. With my outrage, with my hatred of this man. Until my heart quieted enough that I began to find some compassion for him. I was so clearly sick in this distortion that he had. I did not believe in evil then, any more than I believe in it now. But as you have heard me say, there are those who offer very great distortion and do very great harm in the negativity. So I began to reflect on how immense his pain must be, that he needed to do this to another. Slowly my anger quieted. And I found forgiveness for him and for myself, for that which was also negative in myself. And then in a deeper meditation I asked, is there any way out, or must I die? I began to have a vision of a stone shaped like a keystone. It came so strongly to me that after an hour of meditation upon that stone, I got up and searched that front room. There was one wall, the outer wall, that was rock. But there was no stone of that shape, and even if there had been, even if it had opened, it simply would have taken me to an immense precipice. I cannot tell you how much I did not want to walk back into that bedroom, into those corpses. I had been sitting in the front room with all three candles lit, and I realized that they were burning down and soon I was going to be left in darkness. So I blew out two of them, leaving myself just one. Gathering my courage, I walked back into the bedroom and and searched. Loki shaped a stone, keystone shaped a stone. I went back to the living room and sat. But the stone stayed so firmly in my mind. And a small voice said, behind it, back into the bedroom. There was one nook with a drapery across it. I confess I had not looked there, truly afraid that I would find another corpse. Instead, I found it was somewhat of a closet with a few articles of clothing hanging in it. And on the back wall was the keister. My heart stopped. This was a stone wall, and yet it was an inner wall. I looked for a door there with some mechanism, but none was apparent. Finally, by the flickering light of this last candle, I touched that stone, pressed my hand against it. Then there was an almost silent hum, a little bit of creaking, and the wall literally opened itself. The doorway was so perfectly hidden that even one who knew it existed would have had trouble finding it. It was not square, but followed the outline of the stones. I pushed it closed and saw outline of doorway disappear into the mortar between the stones. Pushed the keystone again and it opened. Just a crack, enough for me to take my fingers and pull it back a bit. And there beyond was a staircase. Very dark, very steep. Well, my candle was dim. The moon was full outside, and there were some windows. So I had not been in total darkness. Now, ahead of me was only blackness. I would like to be able to say to you that I simply trusted God, trusted Jesus, took Jesus' hand and descended the steps. But there was very little trust or faith in my movement. Rather, there was a sense of dread. In this room surrounded by corpses, of which I was soon to become if I stayed there. That blackness seemed the only hope, and so I stepped into it. I went down and down, going on stocking feet, the stenoise between me. I went down what seemed much further than the ground level. As I descended, I began to hear running water. I will not describe in detail to you the cobwebs and the sounds of rats and the feeling of them as they brushed past me. I reached the bottom step, and in the flickering last light of my candle, I could see below me, about 5 feet, a rushing stream. And then my candle went out. Clear to me there was no other way out. It was clear from his maniacal laugh that he did not intend simply to frighten me and to let me loosen them all, but took a delight in my fear and suffering. And furthermore, I had been born on a sea coast, the son of a fisher. And I was a very, very good swimmer. I decided that the water must be going somewhere and to trust myself to it. Rather than returning up the stairs to the blackness and the corpses and the fear within that room. And so I dived in. The current was not as fierce as I thought it would be. In fact, it was rather mild. I decided to swim with the current, face on the surface for a short ways, holding my hands ahead of me, until suddenly I could feel a wall ahead of me and realized I must dive underwater. And pray that I will come up soon. Treading water there in the blackness, a wall in front of me, an opening 4 or 5 feet down. Suddenly, I felt myself very comforted. I realized that I wanted to escape, but I did not hate the one who had imprisoned me. I realized in that moment that if I escaped, I would not come back to seek revenge on him, but would hope in some way to heal him and bring him into the light. And so that became my prayer just before I do. Not for revenge, but for the good of all beings, may I survive this. And then I do. And swam until it felt my lungs would burst, feeling the rocky roof below the waterline and above my head, until suddenly it opened out, and there I was in a river under the night sky. I was out, and I suppose you might think that was the end of the story. It was still only the middle of the night. I sat on a rock, just at the opening of this underground stream. The castle looming above me. And asked myself and asked God, is there any way that this man can be saved from his negative attitude? Is there any way that I can help him come into the light? The first images that crossed my mind, of course, were to find some fellow monks or villagers and bring them back and come into the castle, come up to that room to accuse him. But I knew that would only drive him further into darkness. That while he might suffer, might be imprisoned, his heart would not open. And then I had a wonderful and terrible idea. So terrible did it seem, in fact, that at first I could not will myself to do it. But finally, it seemed that the idea truly was of divine origin, and that if I attempted it with love, I would succeed. And so I dove into the water, filling my lungs as full as I could with air, for this time I should have to swim upstream. I dove into the tunnel, grabbing at the rock walls to pull myself along, until I finally emerged at the other end, at the foot of that stairwell. I climbed the stairs in the blackness and emerged in that bedroom. I knew that he could not know about this secret doorway, nor, of course, had any of those who had died. I had been told he had only bought this dwelling in the past year or two. I took each corpse, carrying it carefully so as to be noiseless on those stairs. I carried each down to the bottom. And into the water. And then I went back up and cleaned up that room as well as I could. Really made it look inviting and comfortable. And finally stepped into the stairway again, and this time pulled the wall closed behind me until it clicked. And went down the stairs into the water. Past the bodies which lay on a simple ledge right by the river. Dove underneath and came out, once again free in the night. The next day, I had breakfast and begged dry clothes. Allowed my monk's robe, outer robe, to dry in sun and breeze. And then, when the sun was fully up, I came back and knocked on the door. If the servant was surprised to see me, he gave no sign. I do not believe he had any idea of what his master was about, but simply supposed that those who had been guests had gone on the next day. I said that his master had unlocked the door early, as I had requested. But he had wanted to come back and thank him. Was he there? The servant brought me in to where the master breakfasted. He looked at me as if he had seen a ghost. Never have I seen a man so surprised, so alarmed. "What are you doing here?" he stammered. "Well, I came back to thank you," I said. "I had a most comfortable night." "Yes, I was so tired, and it was such a comfortable room. And then this morning, when you unlocked the door so graciously, at the hour that I asked, I was afraid I had not thanked you properly, so I had come back to thank you." Again he said, "It was a comfortable room. Oh yes. It's a wonderful bed." And I invited him to come back up with me. I asked him, "Have you ever laid on that bed?" He didn't want to come. His confusion finally drew him along, as did his curiosity. And so we went upstairs, through that living room and into the now comfortably sunlit and well-cleaned bedroom. No corpses to be seen. I said, "Lie down on it. It's a wonderful bed. I had such a good night here. What a good man you are. You must be blessed by God to offer such hospitality. May God continue to bless you for your hospitality and your love of others." He blinked and shook his head as if his whole murderous assault on so many was but a nightmare. He said, "Yes, thank you. Will you have breakfast with me?" And we did dine together. I asked him if I might come back and perhaps bring a fellow monk with me, as I would be walking back that way later in the week. I made sure to choose a fellow monk who was also a good swimmer, just in case. We were again treated to dinner and shown to this room, where we might share this large bed. No corpses this time. Once again, he left me with a candle and closed the door. I asked him, "Aren't you going to lock it so I'll be safe?" He said, "No, I don't think I need to do that." And then I heard his footsteps descend the stairs. I will confess that I did not go to sleep, as I was not sure if he would come back and attack me at some time during the night. I did not know how complete his conversion had been, or whether he was shamming. But when we arose in the morning, the servant invited us to come and sit with him at breakfast. He told me then that he felt like one awakening from a nightmare, and asked me to please send other monks or any other guest his way, that he would always welcome company. I suppose a moral might be offered, but I think that it should spoil a good story. So I would choose to leave it where it is. I'll leave you to your own thinking about it. I can only say that to the best of my ability to relate this in absolute truth as I experienced it, I have done so.